I'll be honest with you, I'm hesitant to say anything to take away from that. That was just awesome. Thank you, Shannon. Thank you, Chloe. Thank you, Anne. Just a beautiful song. Thank you for sharing that with us and for constantly sharing your talents with us. It's just amazing. Thank you. You may or may not know this, but I have always been a pretty big sports fan. Rhonda and I, some of the things we love to do the most is to watch sports on TV or even in person when we get the opportunity. Now, we haven't been able to do that much lately because of the sports nuclear winter that we seem to find ourselves in right now. But we love watching college football. We love watching college basketball. We were among the saddest of them all when March Madness went away this year. We love to watch NFL football. We just love to watch those games. It's just something about watching these teams participating and people achieving things and doing great things with their talents and with their abilities. We love to watch just about any sport. We're not much on baseball. We watch it toward the World Series time, where we've never been much on soccer and hockey. Just don't understand it. Sorry about that. But I've been a sports fan all my life, all my years, and I can remember back in my early 20s, before I was married, I had this good friend that I had met, and he and I got together and watched sports a lot, either at my place or at his place. And this good friend of mine had recently gotten married about 6 weeks or a couple of months prior to this time. He had gotten married, and I was over at his house one evening to watch this football game. It wasn't the Super Bowl, but it was one of those games in the playoffs leading right up to the Super Bowl. So it was a very important game to us, and my friend and I were sitting there, and it was just intense. We were just focused on this television set and focused on this very exciting game, kind of laser focused on everything that was going on, and just waiting to see. We kind of had this little thing going back and forth. I was pulling for one team, he was pulling for the other team, and we were just intently watching this screen. When about that time, his new wife came walking into the room. His new wife had evidently gone clothes shopping recently, and she had evidently purchased herself some new clothes. So my friend's wife came walking into the room, and like I said, we were intently focused on this ball game and watching everything that was going on. Well, she walks up beside my friend, his new wife, and she asked him the trickiest, most dangerous question that can be asked in all the world. It's a question that makes any man stumble and break out into this cold sweat trying to figure out how in the world to properly answer this question in order to stay out of trouble. My friend's new wife came up to him right beside him, and she asked him the question, "Do I look fat in this dress?" Now, remember, my friend is focused on this ball game. We are focused on what's going on in front of us on this television screen. So without even thinking, without even hesitating, without even looking up, without even doing anything, my friend responded, "Oh yeah, you betcha." Now, it suddenly became pretty cold in the room. There was this chill that kind of fell over everything, especially as my friend's new wife stomps out of the room and slams the door behind her. When he heard the door slam, it's like he came out of his television trance, and he looked over at me in this panic, and he said, what did she say? What did I say? What happened? What went wrong? He heard her voice. He knew it was her, and he heard her voice. But he clearly wasn't listening, was he? He clearly wasn't listening. I left the house that night at halftime because I could tell that the next few hours were not going to be very pleasant for my friend at his house. But we see this often. We see this happen often in our lives, and I think we see it most at least in my life, we see it most with our children and with our grandchildren. We'll sit them down to tell them something to do or to explain something to them that they need to be doing or how something should happen or how something should work. And they know we're speaking to them. They know that we're talking to them. They are hearing our words coming out of our mouths, but they're clearly just not listening. It's obvious in life that not listening can potentially get us into some pretty big trouble, can it? Not listening can send us down a road that is a destructive path in our lives, especially not listening to the voices that you recognize and that you trust. Not listening to those voices can be very hazardous to us in our lives. But you know, the opposite is just as dangerous, if not more dangerous. It's just as dangerous to listen to unfamiliar voices. It's just as dangerous to listen to these voices that you don't recognize. And that's easy to do right now. That's easy to do in this day and age, especially in this day and age of social media and so many voices that are around. There's so many voices out there that are clamoring for your attention, clamoring for us to pay attention to them. Voices calling out to us, voices claiming to offer us exactly what we need in our lives to be happy. Everything we need in our lives in order to be successful in life and to have everything we should have in life. These voices that are telling us, here's the car you should own, here's the car you should buy. Voices that are telling us, here's the clothes you should wear, here's the designer jeans you should have on that for some reason, by the way, are already torn up when you buy them. They got shreds all in the knees, and I've never understood that. My mama put patches on those things. But they buy them, these designer jeans that you're supposed to wear and they're supposed to have. This food you're supposed to eat that makes you the right-looking kind of person so that you can look good and so you can act like the way we act and so you can be happy and you can be successful because you're doing all these things that all these voices are saying that you're supposed to do. But then we learn the hard way, don't we? We learn the hard way that no matter how many cars we own, no matter how many pairs of torn-up designer jeans that we have in our closets, no matter how much stuff we accumulate in our lives, we're just not satisfied. Those things just don't give us contentment. Not a contentment that lasts. Those things just don't give us peace because we're listening to the wrong voices. We're paying attention to those unfamiliar wrong voices. There's some strange voices out there, especially right now in what's going on. Turn on the TV, you'll hear them. There's some pretty strange voices out there, and they're pretty dangerous to follow, many of them. You know, my mother, whenever I used to do something that I shouldn't have done, something that I knew I shouldn't have done it, I knew it was the wrong thing to do, but I did it anyway. My mother would come to me and ask me, well, why did you do that? And my answer would typically be, well, my friend Mark did it, or he did it, or he did it. And my mother would always come back with the question, well, if Mark jumped off a cliff, would you jump off a cliff too? That was always her response, listening to the wrong voice. There's some strange voices out there, and they'll lead you off a cliff. They'll lead you into things that you don't need to be a part of. I call it stranger danger. There's a stranger danger out there. These stranger voices that are speaking. And listening to those voices can be really dangerous in our Christian lives. I believe this is why Jesus told this story that we're looking at in the 10th chapter of the Gospel of John this morning, the story that he shared with the Pharisees and with his disciples. He was warning them that there's some dangerous voices out there. He was warning them of this stranger danger that existed. He was warning them that you can't cut corners, that you can't do it across the way. You've got to follow the right way. There is only one way, and you got to be careful who you're listening to. Now, in John chapter 10, Jesus starts talking to the Pharisees and to the disciples about being this good shepherd and what it means to be a good shepherd. Now, what I want you to keep in mind before we read that is that Jesus didn't just decide all of a sudden, I'm going to start talking about sheep out of the blue. He didn't decide just all of a sudden, well, I'm going to equate sheep with people just out of nowhere. There was a reason why Jesus decided to use this metaphor to talk to them about being a good shepherd and the right gate to go to and the right voice that you should be listening to. If you go back to chapter 9, and certainly no time to read it all, but if you read through chapter 9, you will see where John records in chapter 9 this encounter that Jesus had with a blind man. He had an encounter with a blind man who had been blind from birth. Now just think of that for just a second, what it would be like to be blind from birth. Can you imagine what it would be like to never be able to see anything? Imagine the familiar sounds that you would hear, but that you would never be able to put an image to. Imagine the familiar things you would be listening to your whole life, but never be able to see them in your life and truly understand them. Imagine hearing a bird sing its song in a tree, but not having a clue what a bird even looks like. Imagine hearing your own mother's voice speaking to you, but not having a clue what your own mother looks like. So Jesus and his disciples are walking along, and his disciples see this man who has been blind from birth, and they ask Jesus a very logical question that they would ask, Jesus, who sinned here? I mean, somebody did something wrong. This guy has not been able to see his whole life. This man has been blind from birth. And Jesus said, and this really ties right into what we talked about last Wednesday night when we talked about, bad things happen to good people. Jesus ties right into that when Jesus says, nobody sinned. He says, this trial happened in this person's life so that God's works could be revealed. This trial happened so that when he is healed, God's going to be glorified from this happening in his life. So Jesus makes some mud pies, which he's been known to do. He puts the mud pies in the man's eyes and rubs them in his eyes real good. And he tells him, go over to the pool at Siloam and wash them out. And he did. And for the first time, this man could see everything. For the first time in his life, he's seeing all these sounds. Now he's being able to put an image with all these sounds that he's seen. The whole world becomes brand new to this man. And he's just laughing as he goes along because he can't believe how the world's different now because he can see everything. Now he can listen to these familiar sounds and these familiar voices and that he recognizes, and he can see who that is, or he can see what's really making that sound. He's not sure who this man was who came along and healed him. He doesn't really know who he is, but all he knew is that when he heard a bird sing in a tree, he can look up at that tree and he can see that bird singing. When he hears rustles of leaves in the wind from the trees, he can look up and see what's really making that sound in those trees. Jesus healed this man physically, healed him right there. And the familiar sounds that he had always listened to in his life were brought to life because he could see them now. Then Jesus did an amazing thing. Not only did he heal this man physically, he went and he healed this man in his blindness spiritually. Not only now could this man see the things that are making noises around him, now he could see truly who healed him. Now he could see this one who had opened his eyes, but also opened the eyes of his heart. So he could see Jesus as the Messiah, this man that he had listened to his whole life. He had listened to his words and he recognized his voice and he had listened to what he said, but now he was healed physically and he was healed spiritually so he could see it all, and the world is a different place now for this man. Then Jesus takes that experience with this blind man that he has healed And the Pharisees and the disciples all watched this happen. They all watched this going on. He took that experience to having an opportunity to teach the Pharisees and his disciples a lesson about sheep. Now, it was a lesson that kind of connected back to everything that they had seen that had gone on with this blind man being healed and spiritually being healed so that they're listening to the right voices and so that they're following the right voice and so their eyes are open and they can clearly see who Jesus is in their lives in this world. So that's where we pick up in John chapter 10, beginning with verse 1. Listen carefully to what Jesus says to them. He says, "Very truly, I tell you, Pharisees, anyone who does not enter the sheep pen by the gate, but climbs in by some other way is a thief and a robber. The one who enters by the gate is the shepherd of the sheep. The gatekeeper opens the gate for him, and the sheep listen to his voice. He calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. When he has brought out all his own, he goes on ahead of them, and his sheep follow him, because they know his voice. But they will never follow a stranger. In fact, they will run away from him, because they do not recognize a stranger's voice." Jesus used this figure of speech, but the Pharisees did not understand what he was telling them. These words that Jesus is sharing with the Pharisees, this is an absolute riddle to them. This is a total riddle. They do not understand what Jesus is trying to say and how he's trying to talk about people as the sheep. But what they do understand is sheep. They understand sheep. And so they can kind of follow along a little bit. They understand how sheep are. They understand that sheep will follow each other even more than they will follow the sheep herder. Sheep will follow each other. And if one sheep steps off a cliff, the other sheep will just follow along. They will follow each other. I should have told that to my mama when she was fussing at me. They will follow along. Sheep will follow each other even off a cliff, and they know that. They know that sheep will remember faces and voices, and they know their name. And even a familiar voice of the shepherd, if the shepherd's been kind to them, they'll follow those voices. The Pharisees know that. They understand that about sheep. They know that sheep can see danger coming a half mile away, but they can't find an open gate right in front of them. They're very far-sighted. They can see way out there, but they can't see the open gate right here in front of them to walk through. They understand all of these things about sheep. And so that's the perspective that they're hearing these words from Jesus. They don't understand that it's a riddle. And they don't understand, may not understand that Jesus is talking about them and us, all of us. But they may not make quite the connection yet, but they understand how these sheep work. So Jesus kind of explains it to them. If we go on, verse 7, "Therefore Jesus said again, 'Very truly I tell you, I am the gate for the sheep. All who have come before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep have not listened to them.'" Jesus is saying, "Hey, listen, everybody. Listen to me right now. I'm the gate. This story, this riddle I just told you, I'm talking about me, and I'm talking about you. I'm the gate. I'm the way you get there. I'm the path you go through. Listen to me. Recognize my voice. Listen to my voice. The sheep follow me. My sheep follow me because they know I'm the one calling them. They know my voice. They recognize my voice. Stop listening to all these other voices. Stop paying attention to all these other voices. Listen to my voice because I'm the only way. The only way. I'm the gate. I'm the way to that life that you need to have as a sheep. I'm the gate that's going to keep you safe. There are a lot of other voices out there, and especially nowadays, and we've talked about it, social media, there's voices all over the place. I can get on my phone and hear, see voices from all over the place, from all over the world, people giving their opinions and their voices and their ideas of how we should live our lives and the things that we should do. And they're not all bad, and I'm not saying they're all bad, but there's thieves out there, and there's robbers out there, and they'll rob you of your life. They'll rob you of your peace. They'll rob you of your hope. They'll cause you, if you're not careful, and if you're listening to that wrong voice, they'll cause you to walk away slowly but surely from your faith. They'll cause you to walk away from your understanding of this Jesus who is the gate, who gives us that abundant life that we want to have in our lives. They'll sell you a bill of goods, for sure. They'll sell you a bit of goods and make you feel like stuff will make you happy. Things will make you happy. Power, money, outward appearance, those things will make you happy. But the sheep don't follow them. Jesus' sheep recognize his voice, and they don't follow them. They follow the voice that they recognize. Jesus says over and over, and he says it again, I am the gate. Look at verse 9. He says, I am the gate. Whoever enters through me will be saved. They will come in and go out and find pasture. The thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. I have come that they may have life and have it to the full. I think Jesus said this story, this parable, this riddle to warn us all that there's stranger danger out there. There's strange voices out there. And I think he did that because there's too many people in this world that are just like my buddy that was watching the football game. You remember him? There's too many people in this world who are just like him, who are so focused on our own lives, so focused on our own agendas, so focused on our own problems and our own life and our own needs and our own wants and the things that are going on in our lives. They're so focused on all these things that when God speaks, they hear the voice and they know probably where it's coming from, but they're not listening. If you're a young person, if you're a teenager right now, if you're in your early 20s right now, if you're a college person right now, I don't think there's ever been a more difficult time in the history of the world to be a 20-something-year-old or to be a teenager in this world with all the voices that you have that are pulling at you. All the voices that you have to deal with that wanting you to focus on your success in this way and to focus on fitting in this way and to focus on being successful by doing this or by doing that or by looking this way or looking that way. Voices just pulling you in every direction in your life in these huge decisions that you're trying to make in your life. Listen. Listen carefully. Listen to that voice. Make sure who that voice is. Make sure who it is that is speaking to you in this way. Make sure you're following the right one through the right gate. And that applies to all of us. We're in a global pandemic. I don't know about you, but this is my first global pandemic I've had to deal with in my life. We're all dealing with this global pandemic and the stress and the worries that this can cause. And there's so many people out there making all these predictions and all this other stuff about what's going on. Make sure you're listening to the right voice. Because there's a voice out there, I promise. There's a voice out there that's comforting. There's a voice out there that's peaceful. There's a voice out there that's going to say to you, I got this. I got this. I'm in control. There's a purpose, and you're going to see it. There's a voice out there that's saying, don't worry about this so much. Be at peace with me. Come through the gate and rest because I'm here and I've got this under control. There's only one voice we should be listening to. Only one. And that's the voice that's going to give us that life we want to have, that life of meaning and that life of purpose. You know, I was thinking about it this past week. Without Jesus, none of this makes sense. None of it makes any sense. Without Jesus, this is nothing but sure pandemonium and panic without Jesus. But with Jesus, it's all okay. With Jesus, there's still meaning and there's still purpose in life. Like Jesus said, you can't jump the fence. You can't. You can't cut corners. He's the only way. He is the only way. He is the only way to a life of meaning and purpose, even during this global pandemic. No matter how many voices are speaking and yelling, He is the only way. So if you're watching me or you're listening to me this morning, I'm asking you, look into your heart. What voice are you listening to? What voice has taken you down this path you're on? What voice has taken you away from that faith you know you should have? That life you know you should be leading? Listen to that voice, because he's calling. I promise. Louder than ever, he's calling right now for people to come back to him. Come to me, he's saying. Come be with me. Walk with me through this. Listen to my voice. I'll get you through this. That's the voice that we need to be listening to. Watch out for the stranger danger. Follow that good shepherd. Let's have a prayer together. Father, as we come together this morning, I thank you, Father. I thank you so much for your voice. That tender, loving, caring, peaceful, kind voice that maybe we don't hear it with our ears, but we sure hear it with our hearts. Maybe we don't see you walking down the street, but we sure see your presence everywhere. Father, speak to us this morning, God. If there is one who doesn't understand that voice, doesn't recognize that voice, speak loudly to that person, God, that they in their hearts, in their souls, in their spirits might hear that voice right now, might give themselves to you, and that we would all, in our own ways, turn back to you, turn back to listening to your word, to your voice, to how you speak to us, because you're the only way. You're the only way to true life. You're the only way to eternal life. You're the only way through a global pandemic. You're the only way through anything we face, God. Thank you. Speak to us, we pray, Father. In Christ's name, amen.